Hey, hey! Welcome to Tribe Chatter.
Yes, indeed. The cowbells are ringing.
Yep. Ron Sattermo here with Sherry Boston Renard, the Kona Queen.
The Kona Queen. Well, actually, I'm just a princess right now. I've had my one Kona experience, so I think my next time I can call myself Kona Queen.
Well, I think you're the Kona Queen.
I was the Kona Virgin. I'm moving up in the
hierarchy. I don't even think I want to go there. What are you after a virgin?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. We had... I love Kona. Oh, my gosh.
It's so much fun. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So I want to know... Let's go back to the very, very beginning.
Okay.
So tell our listeners where you qualify.
I qualified early in the year, end of March, beginning of April, here in Oceanside at the 70.3.
Yep.
There was one spot in my age group, and I got it.
And you won.
And I won.
And what was your time there?
I believe it was 5:08 or somewhere thereabout, maybe 5:10. I can't remember.
I know. I can't remember my times either. I hate
when
people
terrible?
Ask me. It's like, I don't really remember.
5:10, I'm going to have to try to get 5:08 next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was around 5:10.
Yeah. So.
I think mine was 5:08 and the girl that I beat up was 5:10.
Okay.
Like that. Who also ended up going to Kona, and I saw her there, and she was a DNF. I don't know what happened to her.
Oh, so she qualified someplace else.
What a shocker. What?
She qualified somewhere
else. She qualified at St. George.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that's why I qualified.
So that's where you qualified. And
at
what about
six months.
What about your training leading up to it? What did
up
you do?
To Kona?
I mean, how much volume? How many days were you working out?
Oh, well, you know, I had such a base established from all winter long and the century rides and doing some half marathons and Oceanside, and I did Wildflower. I did Vine Man and had a great time up there. So I really had a great base. I would say my volume, my heaviest bike miles were a couple of weeks of about 200, between 250 and 290.
Okay.
In terms of hours and volume, my heaviest weeks were 20, then 23, then my very highest was 24.
Okay.
So that was the peak.
And does that include... Do you do weight training?
I do some core. I really don't do a whole lot of weight training. I do in the off season.
Yeah.
That's when I do most of my strength training. I do maintenance, but not as often as I should.
Yeah. So in that 24 hours, that's pretty
that
much swim
bike. That
doesn't
include. That's all swim. That's about maybe an hour of core a week, to be quite honest. It's going to be more. Don't you worry. Gonna be more.
you know what? Don't mess with success. Whatever you did worked, so don't change anything.
I do think you have to stay with core. You have to do core, and you do have to do some strength training.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I absolutely think so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially women, makes us pretty. Which may I say, my friends, I just gotta say, my friends Joy and Mark Powell, who I love, came all the way from Pennsylvania. My sister came from Maryland. The pals get off the plane. They've been with all these triathletes from all the way since Phoenix or whatever. And they get off the plane, and Joy said, "Are you the only pretty triathlete there is?" She said, "Thank you, Joy." I said, "Well, no, I'm not. There are some very pretty triathlete ladies. I know lots of them, but." Yeah, they got on the plane with some good ones.
There's not that many. Did you see our article about
the
10 hottest women?
No.
Were
there any triathletes in there?
They're the top 10 hottest women triathletes of
all
time.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. Did anybody I know make the cut?
There's not that many.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, they're all, yeah, I mean.
There's 10. Okay, so back to Kona. Here we are talking about women. So,
yeah.
Where were we?
I wanted to basically what I want people to know is how did you get there? How did I get there?
Okay,
what do you attribute your success to? Because that's what everybody really wants to know. Everybody wants to go to Kona, and everybody always wants to know.
How did I get there, or how did I do well there? I mean, I think I did well.
I want to talk about your race in a minute, but I want to talk about how did you get there.
How did I get
there? What do you really attribute your fitness to so that you could qualify at California?
Well, that was just a good, solid off-season and long rides and working hard on the intensity on the bike when I was working hard. The spin classes that I teach are really cycling-specific. working year-round speed work at the track. Not always super fast speed work, but, you know, tempo, mile repeats, 2 miles, stuff like that.
Hills? Do you do hill repeats?
Absolutely, I do hill repeats. Yeah, yeah, I do. And, you know, the long runs and mixing it up on the long runs, I believe in doing that. But I didn't max out on the running too soon. You know, you're kind of at the same school of thought there. You know, you don't need to do a bunch of marathons in between. It just takes too much recovery. The half marathons
exactly.
are great.
Yep.
So, and, you know, I just remained injury-free. I really would take the recovery days seriously and weeks seriously and try to cut back. And if I felt something weird going on, I would try to deal with it. Oh, God, and the Alter G. I discovered the Alter G treadmill.
Yeah.
Which
so
is how, wonderful.
Did you use that on a regular
yes,
basis?
Yes, well, I started using it about a month before the race. So I only got to use it for a couple of weeks before I left for Hawaii. But it was perfect because I was running on it after I would do these long runs. Mm-hmm. You know, after I'd do a, you know, 20-mile run, I could go and do the Alter G 2 days later and be doing tempo pace, which I could never do on the flat, you know, on, out on the road.
Yeah. Well, just
tempo intervals.
So people understand.
The Alter G
is
a treadmill. It's a treadmill that you zip yourself into and it puffs you all up and it, you can remove your body weight.
Right.
So you can run at 65% of your body weight. And for distance runners and, you know, Ironman and especially people who are getting older, it just minimizes the stress on your joints. You're still getting that motion. You're still, and it keeps your heart rate lower. I just think it's great. Yeah. And my friend Sue Davis, who's an awesome runner, she uses it a couple times a week. And if it works for Sue, and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know? So here's a plug for you, Chad. It's I think it's $100 for a session, for 12 sessions of 45 minutes each. And you get like a punch card.
Yeah, is
and,
that a Jared
That's
Jared's
a Jared,
place.
Jared
yeah.
Orthopedic Rehab. Yeah. And I think it's a great thing, especially with me, with my arthritis in my hip. Sometimes if I turn the speed on a little, the hip starts speaking to me.
Yeah.
So that's how I attribute to getting there. And I think I wanted to really have a positive attitude going in. You know, so many people have their goals set for me. Oh, you're going to go, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And I'm saying, hello, earth to whoever. No, I'm not. I'm really not. You know, I am a very small fish in this huge ocean over here. Like, you know, let's get real. Here's some of the people that are racing. And so hopefully they realize that and now have definitely realized it, that, you know, this is serious world-class
it's hard.
Stuff. It's flipping real stuff. So I think people have their expectations and I try to really get them to rein those in and be realistic. And I wanted to train hard to race my best race. I wanted to feel like I was in the best shape possible. I had done everything I could to get to that finish line at 100%. And I did. I absolutely felt awesome. I still feel awesome, except for the blisters on my feet. But that's... We'll talk about that later.
That's so great.
So, yeah, I felt
okay.
really good.
So when did you get to Kona? How long before
I got to? I left for Hawaii 2 weeks before. I spent 5 days on Maui first. And then I went to Kona, got there 8 days before the race.
So you probably, I'm guessing you didn't have your bike with you on Maui.
I didn't. But Pete had his, and my friend Jody, who's awesome, she did Kona too. She had a spin bike, and I would put her spin bike outside in her black asphalt driveway and ride that for an hour.
With
and
the heat
try to
radiating
acclimate.
Up
and, yeah, and then I did some good brick runs over there, and... you know, it was tapering and did some beautiful ocean swims. Just, oh, God. I love the ocean in Hawaii.
Where did you stay?
We stayed over in Paia on the windy side of the island. Amazing place. If you know anybody who wants to rent this little studio apartment in her little, Jody's little neighborhood, 2 minutes walk from Mama's Fish House, which is
amazing. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so we, you know... Walk down with carrying our sandals, put our sandals on, and go to Mama's. So that was, oh, fantastic time. We swam. It was absolutely beautiful. But I love the ocean over there. And I just knew, first of all, it was a no wetsuit swim. So let's just start talking about the race. Well, let's just get the swim out of the way, okay? Let's just get it out of the way.
Okay, so what did you wear in the swim? Did you have a swim scan? Or did
nothing.
You just, wow, damn. Where's the art?
Oh God, I'm just kidding. I wore my tri suit and a tri tier swim skin.
Okay, so you had a swim skin.
I spent $250.
Yeah.
To enjoy that swim for 1 hour and 33 minutes. Every second of it. There might even be some seconds added on to that. Yeah. That's what I wore. I had never used it before. I used it a couple times in Maui, felt fine. And then I didn't use it whenever I was swimming over in Kona before the race because I wanted, it was kind of like training wheels, you know, like, okay, race day, I'm going to put on, I'm going to be sleek and fast.
Right.
So that's what I wore. I got a flat tire before the race started, which I was a little concerned about because, you know, after what happened at Ironman Canada with the two flats up there, when I took my bike to transition, I let a little bit of air out of the tires on Friday. So I come in early Saturday morning, and I pumped the tires up, and I noticed the flat back tire seemed a little flatter than the front. And I thought, well, you know, whatever. Went back, checked on it later. It seemed okay, but I just had a bad feeling about it. Mm. I just thought, oh, God. You know, and I had the spare. Everything was all put together. Hank had me all set up. And he had latex in the tires, too. And so we were literally lining up. It was 6:30, and I thought, you know, I gotta go take another look at that bike. And I looked, and I could see. I picked up the wheel, felt a little flatter, and I could see latex. And I thought, oh crap, what's this? You know. So I rolled around, see the latex, go along, find a staple in it.
Oh man.
So I called a bike tech over. You know, right away there's, you know, volunteers. Those people are so awesome. So she got me a bike tech, and he said, well, you know, at least the latex is doing its job, and now it's like 6:35. And I said, yeah, but I do not want to go ride 112 miles and be worried about this.
Yeah.
You know, let's just rip the tire off right now. Here's my other tire. So boom, bang, he took me over, put the bike on the bike stand. Took a while because it was a brand new tire that Hank had put on there for me. Darn it. but thanks anyway, Hank. At least the latex showed. You know, my thing is deal with it, get it done. You don't want to be worried about that on the bike. No way. So he got it all fixed, got the bike put back together, and at 10 till I was in line to get in. So I didn't really.
So were you nervous about that? Because
no, you know what? I just did not let myself get stressed about it. And the pros, I heard the pros start. I didn't see it. The helicopters were over top. I was like standing there crying during the national anthem, so I couldn't have been that worried about it. I was just like, I really wanted to experience what was going on, and I just was not going to get stressed about that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
I remember last year, my friend Mark Arenal volunteered last year. So he was in the bike corral, and he told me, he said, you know, they walk around while everybody's swimming and feel the tires. So if there is anybody that's got a flat, they change them. And he found one of the bikes had a flat, and they changed them out.
Yeah, because they're out there for the faster people in about an hour.
Yeah, and the guy or girl, whoever's bike it was, they never even knew they had a flat.
Oh, my gosh.
So can you imagine that?
Yeah,
you
know? That's awesome.
So that's cool that they, I never knew they did that until Mark told me.
That's awesome. Those bike techs are great. My husband volunteered as one, which is another whole story. I'll tell you about that later. So anyway,
so
I was not nervous. I get in the water.
Well, where are you lining up? Where did you go?
Pretty much, left? I was to the left side. You know, they have those cars floating out there.
Yeah, where were you in relation to the car?
I found the hole. I was just to the right of the car.
Okay, so you're inside of the car.
I was inside of the car on more of the left side of the course.
Okay.
Not in the front, not in the very back, just kind of between the middle and the back. Yeah. Not in a real aggressive spot because, you know, this is Kona.
Yeah, and you're not expecting to go 55 minutes.
Right, and that's one of my problems is that I don't have that out-of-the-gate speed in swimming. And I really need to work on that. But we'll talk about that later. We could dedicate a whole podcast to it. So I didn't have that much time to really, you know, get flipped out about it or anything. I pretty much had to go out and I was like, oh, a minute to go and we're out of here. So it was, you know, it was really fast.
Yeah.
And then we took off and everything was great. I mean, I just felt like it was a regular triathlon. People were not doing stupid stuff. People weren't like stopping and breaststroking. Everybody was just swimming. And, you know, I felt like I had a pretty good I had a good rhythm. I was working hard, and obviously not hard enough, but I was very comfortable. And, well, you know, I was getting bumped around, but you know how it is. I like that. I like that whole draft thing.
Yeah.
And when I would look up, I expected the buoys to be bigger, too. And I know there's that big boat down there, too. So anyway, yeah, it seemed like I think I went pretty straight on the way out. Okay. I really do. You can't really help it because there's so many people.
You can't go left or right. It's going.
It's straight.
The bus is going in this direction.
So I didn't start screwing up until after the turnaround.
So no major fist to the head goggles pulled off.
No.
Okay.
I should have made something like that up.
Well, no, it's just.
Well, I was writhing in the water.
But I think a lot of people, you know, the stress, the most stressful part for most people is the swim.
And the thing is, I really like the swim. It's just that I seem to not go fast enough.
I wasn't going to say you suck, but I have to say that I was thinking it.
Yes. Yeah, I love the swim. I love swimming in the open water.
Okay, so you're swimming along, looking at the fish underwater.
Well, no, that didn't start until after the turnaround. Okay, so get through the turnaround. The turnaround was no big deal. And by then, okay, come on, you're talking about fast swimmers. They're all way ahead of me by now.
Right.
So I am about mid-pack to way behind that. I mean, you know, I don't know what everybody's times were, but I know in my age group, I was 36th in my age group coming out of the swim. There were only 10 women in my age group behind me.
Yeah.
So, and I pass a lot of those ladies on the bike.
Oh, I'm sure. Almost all of them.
Just, you know, that was me saying on your left. So, you know, the turnaround, everything was fine. And then it just started getting really spread out. And for me, I mean, I know that you need to be in a draft. So I would kind of try to get with somebody or a couple people. And a couple times people would pass me and I would stay on them for a minute and then they would be gone. Like, yeah. I didn't have the speed to stay on
to
them.
Hang with them, yeah.
To hang with them. And I did a couple times speed up and go from person to person. But I was just generally would. And then the surfers were, or the paddleboard guys were saying stuff. Well, how are you supposed to hear them? You're swimming.
You can't hear them.
You can't hear them. So a couple times I would stop and, okay, well, there's the hotel or whatever. Here's where I'm supposed to be going. So I'm just going to do this on my own. And then I'd be on my own for, I don't know, however long. But then, so not long after the turnaround, the fish really start showing up. Like fish everywhere, you know, all those different fish that I love. And then the spinner dolphins, which I've never seen dolphins. I've seen dolphins when I've been swimming here in California, whatever. And I've swum with the turtles and everything. But never with the dolphins underneath me. Just, they were totally like doing the race with us.
It
was amazing.
Yeah.
They were totally in it.
Yeah, wow.
And I was having just a major, what do you even call it? You know?
A rush.
An episode.
Yeah.
I had an episode of just unimaginable bliss. It was just fantastic. So
yeah.
I kind of took my head out of the game, I think, for a little bit. But I'm okay with that. I'm really...
You were out there enjoying the day. You weren't trying to win.
I enjoyed that day. I enjoyed that so much. I really...
Yeah.
You know, and then as soon as I got out of the water, I said, oh, shit, shoot. Well, and you know, my goal was only 130 on the bike, on the swim.
So you missed by 3 minutes.
I missed it by 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So then I got out and said, okay, I got some work to do here, you know. I got to redeem myself.
Yeah, so you probably knew that you were in the bottom third of your
age group. Yeah, I figured there were probably 25 girls ahead of me. I didn't realize I was that far back. But then, you know, you forget this is the world championships.
Yeah. You've got to be strong across the board, you know, to be in the top. You have to be, yeah.
Which is why I have to find a new swimming home. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so I came out of the swim.
And, oh, you know what? I didn't get
I think I still had my mascara and everything on,
I didn't
too,
get
by
your
the way.
Transition splits. I didn't.
My goal was 4:30 for each. My first one was about 3:15.
Oh, wow. Really
and my
fast.
Second one was 4:30 on the nose.
Wow.
Right on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had good transitions. Yeah. I had great transitions.
Well, you're the queen of transitions.
I am.
We know
the
you're
queen
taking
of...
care of business when you're in transition.
Now, I made a big mistake, though, in that. I should have changed my socks between my bike and my run transition.
Did you put socks on for the bike?
I had socks on for the bike.
Yeah, okay.
And here's my mistake. I wore compression socks on the bike. I shouldn't have done that. I should have worn my regular bike socks, which I usually do. And then I should have... Usually I wear my bike socks and then I just run in the same socks. I should have worn the bike socks and then put the compression, sat down, taken the 10 seconds, dried off my feet, and put the compression socks on then, because I didn't realize how wet my feet and my socks were going to get from dousing myself all day trying to stay cool on the bike. And so I didn't realize it, but by the time I got off the bike, my feet were just macerated. They were just soaking wet, like like you've been sitting in the bathtub all day. And all so firmy as, and white. So as soon as I started the run, within a half mile, I went, oh crap.
You could feel
blisters. I could feel hot spots already. So I said, well, we're going to the House of Pain. There's no better place to do it.
No stopping now.
There's no stopping now. And I just...
you can stop at an ABC store on the way and buy a pair of socks or something.
Oh, my gosh. That would be the only option. No, then. Because then I would have been, you know, wouldn't have made my goal time. so that, it's just amazing, though, how you, a person, can just tell their mind, okay, this is how it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, this is just how it's going to be. Right. So let's just put that over there. Let's just not even think
about
it.
But that's not an easy thing to do.
You know, it's not.
And a lot of people, obviously, in this race have the ability to do that. They've gotten there, so they've got the fortitude to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But that's what they talk about as far as the mental game. You know, it's everybody's suffering out there at some point.
In some way.
And, you know, you can either choose to step up, or you can step off.
And, well, Pete saw me at mile, just about mile 10, after you've run through town and you've come up the hill and you're on your way out. The Queen K. I think that's the hardest part of the run.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Coming through town and then doing the hills.
Well,
and
there's
then
nobody
you're
there after the
And Palani. You're seeing all these people coming back in. That's the hardest part. So anyway, I'm mile 10. This is right before I started drinking Coke. And, I'm in friggin' pain. You know, my feet are just killing me. And he's running along, so I'm, well, I think you're in like 13th place or whatever. And I just put my hand up. And he tells me later, he's like, oh, you looked rough. You know, I just put my hand up, and you know, I love to talk. Like, dude,
don't even talk. Catch me tomorrow.
Yeah, don't even talk to me because I am so in the House of Pain. I got nothing to say. You know how you just focus. So anyway, that was kind of fast forwarding to the run.
Let's go back to the bike.
Okay.
So you had a great first transition. Didn't change
great this, first transition.
Didn't change the socks later, but okay. So you got your socks on. You're off on the bike.
I was off on the bike. Didn't wear my aero helmet, which I still kind of question that, but I was really able to get myself pretty soaking wet. I think I could have probably taken a little time off with that aero helmet because going into those headwinds for that last 30 miles, you're just really digging, trying to stay so aero. And then by then, my crotch was killing me because I was soaking wet. You know, so every now and then I would stand up, you know, put it in higher gear and stand up to, you know, kind of get some speed. And then I had this huge, horrible searing pain in, searing pain in my right foot because I think I'm getting an aroma there. So, you know, you suffer on all parts of it, I think, to some degree.
Oh, yeah.
But the bike was awesome and scared the hell out of me up in Javi, I admit it.
So going uphill or coming down?
Going uphill more than coming down. I'm so glad I went and did the ride a few days, but, you know, I did the ride, I don't know, on Saturday. I think that was, the day I got my bike from Tri-Bike. And it scared the heck out of me that day, too. And Pete was with me. He turned around before we even got to the 6 miles. Because it's that last 7 miles that's really...
up to Javi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the first time I was in it, it was just those gusts. I mean, you just, it's scary.
Well, you can't see them coming, you know.
Right.
And they just... they can totally lift you off.
And so pavement. My darling friend Jerry Brooks, who's my triathlon mentor, Ironman mentor, you should get him in here. He's been doing this stuff for years. Awesome guy. He came over to Kona to see me, to see us. And he told me, he said, just whatever you do, just stay aero. He just said, just stay in those aero bars. And, you know, Pete's saying, you know, just spin at a higher cadence, all these things. He's talking about centrifugal force and all this. So I just dug in and stayed in them.
Yeah, well, you're a smaller target if you can stay aero.
Yeah, and one of the girls in my age group, another DNF, crashed coming down from Javi, and Pete was actually there. The bike van, there's no phone reception up there. So he held her head together with a compress until they got her to the hospital. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah, she, you know, I mean, you can just go down in that wind if you turn into it. He said it was just the typical wobble thing. So anyway, no, I had a good bike. I really feel that I was able to hold that balance between having a good pace and not going too hard. And I think if I had tried... Now, next time I go, I would definitely, I think I could, now that I know the course better, you know, the experience in Kona counts for so much.
Oh, absolutely. It and especially counts. The first time you go, you're, you know, most people's mentality the first time they go is I'm going to go and I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to have a good time.
Exactly.
The next time you go, now you've got higher expectations for yourself.
Exactly. And that was my mentality for myself. So now I say, you know, I think I could definitely take 5 minutes off my time there and come in under six. But I made a good choice to, you know, not push too hard. And I think that paid off on the run.
Yeah.
So.
But the great thing about having a slow swim is all the people you pass on the bike.
It is pretty fun.
For me, it's just the reverse. You know, usually I'm up with the faster swimmer.
Nobody passes you.
Everybody's passing me on the bike.
They aren't.
Oh man! Oh yeah, they are. It's so demoralizing.
Well,
I just had, you know, I got out of the, not that I had a great swim. I think that was the worst Ironman swim I've ever had.
Uh-oh, let's hear what it was. Uh-oh, make me sick.
Well, it was 110, but. That's the worst swim that I've ever had, even when I locked up in Arizona. But just people just, it's like, oh my God, is there anybody else behind me? Because I feel like I'm in last place at this point.
Well, that's what I felt like when I came out of the swim. I'm like, I looked to make sure there were people
behind me.
And then I remember them talking about the people that barely.
What's the swim cutoff? It's 220. Did I break 220?
I got plenty of time. I could go out and play with those dolphins some more. So the bike is, you know, it's a lonely ride. You know, I wasn't in any packs. I definitely did see on the people coming back some legal drafting. I saw some people who, you know, played the drafting rule right down to the last second.
Which I think you should absolutely do if you can.
If you can,
absolutely.
I agree, because that really helps get your pace up. And as long as it's legal. And, you know, those marshals were riding right alongside those pros. I mean, those guys, and they were at the perfect length behind each other, you know. So,
and I never knew this, by the way, but they said, I don't know if you read Macca's book.
No.
In his book, they were talking about, I think it was his book, they were talking about, they've got markers on the road that are 10 meters apart. So if you look at the marker, you know, check your time, you know, you look at the person in front of you, make sure their rear wheel's at this marker when your front wheel's there, so you know where 10 meters is the whole course long.
I
read that. I haven't verified it, but I read that somewhere. I think it was Macca's book.
I think it was online. They were talking on the race day.
Yeah, it was somewhere.
I wonder how many people tune into Ironman Live on race day.
Tons.
It's
all around the world.
It is, and I think that's what really makes it. I told you it was a lonely bike ride, but I think that's what really pushes you through. Is you just know everybody's looking, and every time I cross one of those timing mats, I'd be like, yes, you know, I passed four more people.
Yeah.
You know, so and it's just, it kind of pushes you along. It feels really good. You know that.
Yeah.
Knowing that people are at home, hopefully ringing cowbells.
Yeah. I lost mine, but.
Oh, I'll have to give you another.
I was whooping it up for you.
You know, people do lose these cowbells. What's up with that?
I think somebody stole mine. Actually, this one looks very familiar.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. I have like 100 of them my sister had made. Okay, so that was my bike.
Okay, so second transition. You didn't change the socks.
I didn't change the socks, but I did change into running shorts.
Yep.
Took off the bike shorts, or the tri shorts. Changed into running shorts and a long-sleeved, some sort of special white top that was supposed to keep me cooler.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Did it seem to help?
I don't know. It kept the sun off my arms.
Yeah.
So that was good.
That helps.
And, I mean, I got it soaking wet every time. And my Garmin died. My garment didn't, it hung on until the very end, but then between the finish line and the next day. So I have to see if I can get that fixed. But it's because I was pouring so much water all over myself.
Yeah, the data's in there, I'm sure.
The date, hopefully it is. Yeah. But yeah, so the run, I changed my into running shorts, which I'm really happy I did. The feet were hurting, but I just said, this is Kona. This is, you know, just deal with it. Deal with it, woman.
So how did it feel running down Ali'i? Because almost the entire, all of Ali'i, you've got, it's lined with people, you know,
yes.
And it's pretty much shaded.
It's those rollers, gentle rolling hills.
Yeah. So how was that?
It was great. I was really just trying to stay on my pace.
Were you aware of the people in the ocean, or were you just so focused?
No. I was seeing the people in the ocean. Yeah. I was giving the thumbs up or the hang loose or whatever to the people cheering. I felt good. You know, I felt like, okay, I felt like rein yourself in here, Sherry, because, you know, there were a couple times when I caught myself going at like an 8:30 pace, and I was trying not to go anything faster than 8:45. Between, you know, trying to stay around an 8:45 to 9 minute pace.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it would vary a little going up, downhill, whatever. But basically at the first turnaround, I was at an 8:46 pace.
Okay.
Second mat, I was at an 8:52 pace or 8:56, something like that.
Perfect.
And then, of course, that's before you hit the hill.
You go Palani.
And you go through town. The next mat is not until the energy lap.
Yeah, at the bottom of the energy lab. Right.
So of course that split was like 10 or 9 something. It was like considerably slower, which everybody's is.
Yeah, of course, slower. Yeah, because you're uphill a lot.
Right. But I started really feeling good at, I don't know, probably as soon as I started approaching the energy lab, I really started feeling good, and I swear it was that Coke that I was drinking. You know,
Coke is great. Magical.
I will, the next time, I didn't want to drink it until the halfway mark. Next time I will start drinking it at 6 miles.
I made the same mistake at Louisville. I kept, you know.
I was trying to make it be a reward.
I wasn't going to start drinking it until mile 20, you know. And
forget
I started drinking
it
at 18. It's like, man, if you start feeling crappy, take it right away. Maca drinks it while he's on the bike if you can get it.
Yeah. God. So I just started feeling, you know, I was holding my pace, and which I knew got slower because of the hills, but I just started picking up the pace at like mile 12, and just feeling good, and once I started coming out of the energy lab, I just started saying, okay, I'm just going to go a little faster each time.
Did you walk at all?
No. I walked a couple times during the aid stations, but just long enough to get the ice in the hat.
Yep.
You know, if I was like multitasking there, you know, because, you know, I was still taking my salt tablets. So if I would take a salt tablet, I would stop and drink the water. Then I would get the ice, put the ice in the hat, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Some of them I would just grab the Coke and go, but I would always grab the ice and put it down my bra and I had ice everywhere.
Yeah.
It was hot.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it was hot. And I drank as much as I could. I mean, my nutrition on the bike was great. I had the solid perpetuums. I did the heat, the solid perpetuums, but I drank so much. I hydrated so much. So then I started having to use the power or the Gatorade, whatever that they give you.
Yeah,
on the
Powerade or whatever it is.
Yeah, and that's so salty.
Did you pee while you were on the bike?
Yeah, I did. That's part of the other reason my socks got so wet, because I squirted off my shorts and my legs. Duh, what was I thinking? Here I think I'm saving all this time. It's torturing my feet.
Okay, so you peed one time on the bike?
I peed one time on the bike.
And then did you pee on the run?
No, I did not.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I was taking
it. But it didn't impact your run. Your run time, 4:02,
yeah,
is freaking amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I was happy with the run.
You know, I'm not going to tell you all the people that you beat that I know.
I was shocked when I started passing those people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
For that course?
Yeah. Thank you.
That's
incredible. I'll take that compliment.
Oh,
because,
man.
I really worked hard.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I can tell.
I think that I really played it smart on the bike. I think if I'd gone harder, I wouldn't have had that run time. My run time would have probably been closer to 4:30.
Yeah.
Because that's how good my legs felt coming off the bike.
Yeah.
And So I attribute that to some smart training, and definitely to, I just think I did all the training just right. I think I nailed it.
Yeah.
Damn it, if I could just get that swell, I'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
So I think I nailed it. I finished my average speed for the last like 9 miles was, I think, 8:45.
Right where you wanted to be.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I like that kind of stuff, like having the Garmin every mile, it's doing an automatic lap split. I'm like, okay, I'm on it. I need to have that constant feedback on the run. I didn't wear a heart rate monitor.
So you came in 11th, which is incredible.
Yeah, I thought I was in 10th. Pete told me I was in 10th. See, Pete, I blame you. But that's okay, because my goal was really to get a PR, to come in under 12 hours and get a PR. That was goal number one. Made that goal.
Yep, that was amazing. Well, the first place gal, did you meet her, Teresa Ryder?
I've never met her, but I know all about her because she won Ironman Canada. I looked her up. I creeped on her. She has a website. She's amazing. She's from Australia, lives in Boulder, Colorado.
Amazing.
Has done 24 Ironmans and has been world champion several times.
Wow.
She's just phenomenal.
10:44 her time.
Yeah.
That's,
she runs like a 3:23 marathon, bike time of about 5:40, and swim of like 1:08. She's definitely untouchable.
Yeah.
And that's what
she's amazing.
Know.
Yeah, she won by 5 minutes.
And the girl behind her won last year.
Ellen Hart. Yeah.
Ellen Hart won last year. So those two, you know, that was the big race between them.
Well, it is, because, you know, the third place gal didn't come in until 11:17.
Right,
so
that's when the mortals started coming in.
20-some minute gap there between second and third.
I think if I got my act together, now that I've done Kona and I've done the course, I think that I could do it in around 11:30.
Yeah.
I think I could.
So 11:30 would have, what, moved you up to eighth place?
Yeah, I think
11:30. Like that. Yeah, well, that'll put you into eighth place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And in the placements in these years, it varies. It just depends who's there, because last year, last weekend would have gotten me eighth place.
Yeah. So you never know.
You just don't know what kind of times people are going to be getting. But I know that I can definitely make some improvements. All I need to do is go back. And it's funny, when I was doing it, I'm thinking, this is great, I'm doing Kona, this is, you know, trying to, and just drink the whole thing in. And it's been just like this wonderful experience. You always get these little flashbacks and you think. But I thought to myself the next day or a few days, well, this was a great experience. I don't know if I'm in any real hurry to come back here. I mean, maybe someday, you know, next year, 2012, I'm going to try to qualify for World 70.3.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told you, it's not been a week and I'm going, I want to go back there and really race. I want to get my act together.
After the blisters heal, then it's time to start thinking about it.
The blisters are still a little tender, but you know, it's so funny how Ironman racing experience is such a huge factor. I mean, every race, I mean, think of this woman who's done 24 Ironmans. Every race, you learn things. Like
you
this
do.
Whole thing
with
the stupid soft mistake. I will never do that again. People I coach and people who listen to this, don't do that. You know, wear bike socks, then change into your compression socks or whatever socks you're going to wear. Do not keep those wet bike socks on.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So there's all sorts of little tidbits of information that you glean and take with you. So then, felt great on the run. Had a fantastic run. Got across the finish line. I told you Mike Riley didn't call my name, which was so weird. It's like, how can you not call my name? Dude, I'm not leaving until my name is called. So he did an extra little extra special thing for me. But my dad and my bonus mom are at the finish line, and my sister and everybody, and I'm dancing and cheering. I am on top of the world, even though my feet are killing me. Then Rhonda, our friend, is my catcher. I said, yeah. She says, okay, off we went. I said, I need to get some stuff for my blisters. Soon as I sat down, wham, I was like, oh God, I feel like crap.
Yeah.
I felt.
The adrenaline's gone now.
So bad. I mean, I always feel pretty bad at the end of an Ironman.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh God, I feel horrible. And she got me some ice cream. Then I start shaking. Then I just start really feeling sick.
That's when you know you're in trouble. When you start
That's when
shake.
I really start feeling sick. So wrap up in the blanket, and a friend of ours, Mark Song, his darling son Kyle, took me to the medical tent where our friend Sam Sunshine was volunteering. And so that's when the puking started. And then they put me on a scale. And I had lost, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 pounds.
Yeah, that's a lot for you.
That's a lot for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was plumped up before. I was like one of those Foster Farms chicken commercials. I was pretty plumped up on race morning because everybody's telling you, hydrate, hydrate. So I'm drinking all this Gatorade and all this water. And, you know, you're plumped up. So I was actually just back down to a little below my real racing weight. So anyway, I got an IV, and that took 5 times to get it in my arm.
Oh boy,
oh, I was
doing
screaming.
That, wasn't really.
No,
everybody
was
together.
Doing it. Finally, I got somebody good. But
oh, man.
So Sam Sunshine has now seen me puking. He's seen me crying. Because if you got poked 5 times for the IV thing, you'd be crying,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's not...
I never cried in an Ironman.
And you know what? Don't have Sam poke you, because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Sam didn't poke me. No, Sam definitely, but he found a good person. So anyway, that's my Kona experience.
Wow.
I mean, what can you even say? It's just...
Isn't it great?
It is great. And all the athletes speaking all the different languages, I love that. And I loved it. Like, you know, I'm kind of friendly, so if I would pass somebody on the bike just for a quick second, I would like try to say something or whatever, other than on your left. And so many times people say, I don't speak English. And you just go, oh, dude, that's right. I'm in Kona. So, and the spirit of the race, you know, the people who were there for various reasons with these stories. And that was very, very touching for me to meet some of those people and really, really, truly be inspired. And every CAF person I saw out there, you know, I had to high-five them and tell them they're my heroes. And I was, it was very emotional.
Yeah.
You know me. I mean, I cry all the time. So, yeah, I cried a lot that week.
Yeah.
Just like joy and, yeah, just
it's inspiring.
Experience.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, so now we got to figure out how we're going to get back over there.
Yeah, so what's your plan for next year? What are you signed
up
for, and what are you going to sign up for?
Well, working on that. Right now I'm taking about 3 weeks off, just, you know, still teaching spin, but not doing anything long, just easy half an hour bike ride here and there. I think you really need to. I've had a long season, and so I, you know, I'll start training again in November. We've got a lot of good stuff on the calendar this year. We've got some century rides, the Stagecoach. We're going to try to get some 4-person time trial teams together, if you're interested. We've got
Palms. You don't want me on that team. No, if you're trying to do well, you don't want me on that team.
We've got the Palm Springs Century that we always do.
Yeah, that's
We've
great.
Got the Surf City Half Marathon. I've got Oceanside, which is not a qualifier for Kona anymore.
Nope.
But it is for 70.3.
Yes.
It's not my favorite race because the water's cold, but it's a wetsuit swim.
Yep, yep.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do the King of the Mountains series, or I don't know. I've signed up for the Buffalo Springs.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're
in. I pulled
the
trigger on that. I'm going to go to Texas and do the 70.3 down
there. That doesn't sell out, right, until...
I don't know.
And,
you know,
it's
an interesting thing because it's a qualifier for 70.3 Worlds and a qualifier for Kona.
Right.
And so I figured, well, I'd like to qualify for one or the other.
What's the date on... It's in June,
right? June 24th.
Yeah, see, that conflicts with Honu. It's because Honu's in June.
Oh,
I
so people do one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. My odds are better in a wetsuit swim, let's face it. The wetsuit helps the skinny girl.
I'm better.
The skinny girl whose legs apparently are dragging on the bottom of the ocean. Maybe that's it. Maybe I was really walking in the swim. So what else is on the agenda? Just my immediate agenda is, you know, this happens to me for the last 5 years, sat in this exact same position and said, I had a great year. I really got to work on the swim. And so here I am. I can't even believe it. You know, I made it all the way to Kona with a decent swim at Oceanside. Had a decent swim at Vineman It was pretty decent.
What was your swim? Do you remember your swim times at either of those places?
Oceanside was 40 minutes, which for me is not that good. But yeah. Vineland was 38 minutes, so it was a 2-minute improvement.
Yeah.
Which I, you know.
Wildflower?
And then Wildflower was okay. It was okay. I can't remember.
Right in there, too, 38, 40 minutes, somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
But I've just always been fast enough on the bike and run that I can make up for it. And now I'm like, okay, dude, enough of this. You know, and I've never been able to find in all these years really a place that's a good master swim program for me.
Yeah.
Out in Irvine has not worked out. You know, I've tried. We have this great Y pool that I swam in all summer, but I swam on my own. And I just don't think that you're really going to improve that much unless you're in a master's program.
Yeah, so, see, I disagree with that. But
that's because you're a good swimmer already. You already have that training in your brain. You're already wired.
But I don't think that's what master's gets you. I think master's is great if you're into the whole social thing.
Right, I'm not. I don't look good with the whole swimming thing going on.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. You know, I know a lot of people that do it, and they've made a lot of friends through master's.
Right.
But frankly, I don't think master's is really what you need.
Well, we can talk about that another time because we're probably running out of time already.
Oh,
because
we're out of time. Really, we're way over time.
We're way over time. But, you know, hey, it was Kona. because that really is, obviously, it's my limiter. Luckily, it makes up such a small portion of time.
It's 10%
in
the average
race.
Yeah.
Right. It really does. But okay, I've committed. Now I'm going to go race at Buffalo Springs. I got to get my game on.
Yeah.
Because I got to win there.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, actually, I got to get second because Teresa Ryder is already registered.
Oh, okay.
She won at Kona, so she's already going back to Kona.
Okay.
She's got her slot.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to take first or second.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So I got to get my act together on the swim.
We can do it.
I'm coachable.
I'm going to show you. Me and O's. Me and O's are going to show you.
Somebody's got to help me. I told Pete, I think after I'd had a couple margaritas one night after the race, I said, somebody needs to take an interest in me. Even though I'm a coach and, you know, I got my niche. You know, I got cycling and running. Those are my strong things. I can, you know, I'm there. I'm dialed in.
That's 90% of the race right
I
there.
Know, but this swim thing, it's like, somebody please take an interest in me. I'll give you all the credit.
Okay.
I'll bow down to you.
Okay, here you got the two men right here in the room with you.
Here it is. And I had Julie, all credit to Julie Swill. You know, I met with her twice. She's an awesome swim coach.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't afford to, you know, have private lesson kind of stuff like that. But I had her voice. Here I am on the swim. Everything. Entry, high elbow, barrel, wave bye-bye. Don't let the whole time I'm swimming, I'm telling myself these things. But obviously, what's going on in the head is not transferring to something.
Yeah.
I'm like a science experiment.
I feel the same way, though.
Stop it, you one-minute, one-hour-and-ten-minute swimmer.
I think I can go faster, so.
Yeah, but
we
you
need to
definitely
work on my
go
swim
faster
too.
Than me. Okay, so.
Anyway, we'll sign off now.
Kona blessings. Kona
We're
dreams.
So proud of you.
Thank
it's
you.
It's amazing.
I'm happy. 11:48 is pretty good.
That's damn good.
Yeah, damn, I'm pretty happy with it.
I think, actually, I need to look up my time again. I don't recall what it is, but
it
I think
It was 1 minute
I,
faster than
But
that.
I think, yeah, I think I beat you by like a
you
minute
beat me
or
by
something.
A minute. Damn it. Al beat me by less than a minute. Mark Song, he's 60, dude. He got an 11:40.
He's stud.
He was really, really amazing. So.
Did you guys see their pictures? Mark, Larry, Gary, and
Charlie. Yeah.
What
yeah.
Picture?
Everybody in their Speedos.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Pretty funny.
At the
yeah,
finish?
I looked at myself in the mirror.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, a lot of those guys look at their swim times.
Yeah.
They've got great swim times.
Yeah.
Imagine how
Gary
good
Clendenin was first. It was so fun watching him. He was first out of the his age group.
He was doing
killed
great.
It.
And he was second coming off the bike.
Yeah.
He was killing it.
Yeah. He was having a great day.
So what happened? Well, should we can talk about those things.
We'll talk
about
we'll
these.
We'll
should
get
all these guys
Gary
on
here.
Yeah, we'll do it. And I would really like you to talk to my friend Jerry Brooks, who's like my triathlon
Let's
mentor.
Invite him in.
He's an awesome guy.
Let's invite him in.
Yeah, he's full of wisdom and experience. Okay.
All right.
Where can we find you?
Signing off. Ron at triathica.com, triathica.com, triathica What is it?
Triple training.
Triathlon
Training Workouts.com. Triathlon Training Workouts.com. We've got too many damn websites. Anyway.
You do. You can find me on CoachSBR.com, and my Kona Race Report is on there. You can find me on Facebook, CoachSBR. I am a Facebook person. And where else can you find me? You can find me swimming. I'll be swimming. No matter when.
She's in the slow lane.
I am forever in the slow lane. All right.
Great job.